More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Even though the new film Mary Poppins Returns took home no honors at the recent Golden Globe Awards, the film has still been hugely successful at the box office, earning upwards of $100 million since its release last month.
And while audiences doubted whether Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda could fill the original film's sizable shoes, the sequel has charmed audiences and many critics alike. We'll be joined in a little while by the songwriter and composer behind the new film, Mark Shaiman. But first, Lake Effect film critic Ryan Jay joins Audrey Nowakowski.
Ryan Jay, welcome back to Lake Effect.
I'm glad to be back, and I'm so excited to be talking about Mary Poppins Returns because it is my second favorite movie of 2018. It was my first favorite until I saw Welcome to Marwen, which is a must-see also. But this movie, Mary Poppins Returns, you have to see in the theater. It's outstanding.
Yes, and in my opinion, it's like it's a spoonful of sugar. Everybody needs.
Yes.
Because we all need some medicine right now.
It's so true. Or I was thinking, you know, everybody's, you know, she says practically perfect in every way. I think this movie is actually perfect in every way.
Yeah. And it's a surprising thing that it works so well because this was such a big task.
There are very big shoes to fill, but you have director Rob Marshall here, who is the, you know, biggest heavy hitter in Hollywood right now directing movie musicals. So there's a lot of confidence there. But I think what's so amazing about this as a sequel is that it pays homage to the original, but is still very modern and fresh in its own way. And, you know, it would previously be blasphemous to think that how can you touch a property or recast Mary Poppins because Julie Andrews is so iconic in the role. But Emily Blunt makes the role her own, and it nods to the original, but it still, you know, modernizes it in a way that it's just kind of mind-blowing.
Right, and I think it adds a little depth because Rob Marshall wanted this version of Mary Poppins more so based off of the original character written by P.L. Travers in the books. So She's a little more eccentric. You know, not that she wasn't in the first film, but, you know, having the constant contrary psychology, the, you know, little bit of mischief that she wants people to get in, yet while being a little strict with some things.
Totally. And I think also something else that comes hand in hand is you have a little bit of the iconic Mary Poppins musical themes from the original film in the score, hidden sort of within the score. And you hear those at very poignant moments in this film. And we spoke with songwriter and composer Mark Shaiman about his work on this film. And we're going to share that interview coming up in a little bit. But these songs are so incredible because, again, they are completely in the style and tone of what the Sherman Brothers did in the original film, but still stand alone as their own works of great art.
Absolutely. And I can't tell you like how refreshing it was for me to sit through an overture at the beginning of the film again.
It's beautiful. And also the choreography in some of these, you know, it's like we had the chimney sweeps in the first one. Here they're lamplighters. But it was the first time I've seen where I wish I could get up and have like leapt into the film and like joined them in this dance. It's so exciting. It was just so athletic and cool. And I just wish I could move like that.
Right. And despite this film being set during, they call it the Great Slump, and it's always very dark and foggy and gray, except when you go into these fantastical worlds of Mary Poppins. And one thing that a Mary Poppins movie can't be without is some animation.
Right.
And I was so excited to see that they actually went into the archives of how they were drawing the penguins for this film. And the people were hand-drawing, recreating the style of animating that sequence.
Yes, so much of family entertainment now and animation is the CGI animation. So to see it go back to the original hand-drawn animation is fantastic and really steps back in time to what we experienced with the first Mary Poppins, and we have that here. And I love how colorful it is. And I also have never seen costumes like this where they look like they're hand-drawn but wearable animated
actual
art.
Yeah, fabric. Yeah.
It was so unique and so different and so worthy of awards attention and consideration because you've never seen anything quite like that before.
Along with that sequence, we have, amidst many, many songs that are in this film, but Lin-Manuel Miranda has his own, a few solo acts within this movie. What did you think of his performance and the fact that maybe he's bringing over newer audiences to a classic musical style?
He's amazing. He's Broadway royalty. So when you're getting, you know, Rob Marshall, who's movie musical royalty, combining with Broadway's best, and then you throw in, you know, Meryl Streep and Emily Blunt and the rest of the outstanding cast, there are also some, you know, we don't want to do spoilers, characters, but there are some surprises in the movie as well in the casting. But Lin is so great because I didn't get to see him in Hamilton when I saw that show, but that show and his genius is very evident. And he has a couple Hamilton-esque moments in this film that are still very proper to Mary Poppins' tone. So it was kind of very exciting to see him get to play with that. The whole movie gives you a sense of joy, and it has beat for beat kind of follows where the original went, but also perks you up. And I feel like it's the kind of movie that at any point in your life either takes you back to your childhood as an adult or totally whisks you away as a child and taps into that spirit of imagination and happiness and what could be.
Yeah, and this film, you know, not that it's dark per se, but the children have lost their mother. They're about to lose the house. So, of course, the big arc where Mary Poppins comes in to save the day is to help the family, you know, keep their home and all of that. But compared to the first film, it is a bit darker in theme because a lot of people in modern world can connect to some of the struggles being portrayed in this film.
Absolutely. And I think also part of what tugs at your heartstrings, and there are several moments in the film where you sort of get teary-eyed, and I think it's due partially to the music, again, because there are really sort of melancholic, beautiful ballads that are very touching and deep and poetic, and
yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, and it wasn't surprising, but I did not know Emily Blunt could sing that well.
Right. Yeah, she does one better even than what we heard her do in Into the Woods. And so it's thrilling to hear her open up and really go there and to see Meryl Streep play again that way and everyone else that sings in the movie. Ben
right.
Whishaw, as the father here, has a great voice too.
Mm-hmm. And we have a little Disney royalty blip at the end. Again, it's kind of a theme with this one, but Angela Lansbury gets to sing a whole song at the end to conclude the movie. And like you said before, it kind of brings you back to that nostalgia, classic Disney moment, because you can't think of Angela Lansbury not like feel some sort of comfort.
Totally. She was the voice of Mrs. Potts. She did Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And it's that Disney magic that only they can do. And you see it, and it's so thrilling that they did it now, because, you know, if they waited much longer, they might not have the opportunity to do it. So there's something that's absolutely powerful. It's that lightning in a bottle of her in this Disney movie with this color in the Mary Poppins film. It's just magical.
Right. And do you think that this came at the right time, too, just overall? I mean, it's in times for award season, so of course it gets in those nominations that it needs. But I would have never thought that we needed another Mary Poppins until you see this, and then it's confirmed with your eyes.
It's true. It's also challenging to think, like, how do you go back to something that's so classic and consider possibly redoing it? Because you can't. You. How can you refill the shoes of Julie Andrews? You can't. But this movie works in a way that gives me confidence that if somebody wanted to go back and remake or do a proper sequel to The Wizard of Oz or other movies that you think would be impossible to redo, if you got a team like this behind it, you can do it, because they did it in a way, again, that honors the original but still makes this new one their own and doesn't take away from what the original meant to people.
Right. As you mentioned before, a big part of that is because of the power of the music, honoring that style as well. So let's go over to our interview with songwriter and composer Mark Shaiman, who joined us by the phone. He first starts by answering my question about what was the first Mary Poppins song he learned to play by the Sherman Brothers and how they influenced him as a songwriter and composer.
Well, I guess I learned all the songs at the same time, but Feed the Birds was probably the one that, you know, teaching little fingers like a young, I was 4 years old when the movie came out. I imagine that song is probably easiest to play, but, you know, I devoured that record for my entire childhood and most of my adulthood as well. I mean, it meant so much to me. The music and lyrics that I learned, the way to write a song I learned from the Sherman Brothers, and the way to orchestrate and score a movie I learned from a man whose name is not as well known, who is Irwin Kostel, and he was this music supervisor, music director, orchestrator of the Mary Poppins, as well as Sound of Music. So that man was a genius. These are gods to me, and I learned everything I could ever want to know from listening to that record endlessly. And then I went off and grew up and had my own career and learned an awful lot, scoring a lot of movies and writing Broadway musicals like Hairspray.
Yes.
And then Mary Poppins Returns came up, and it was my chance to just combine everything that I've ever learned into this one movie.
Well, and how much of a challenge was it to actually strike that tone of the Sherman Brothers? I mean, your music, that's what's so amazing about Mary Poppins Returns, is that, you know, it's fresh and original, but yet has the same tone as what the Sherman Brothers did.
Well, the hard part was how intimidating that was, to know that we would be judged against that, because, let's face it, it's the greatest song score ever written for an original musical, you know, movie musical. But because we grew up with it, it is so in my DNA. That was very much why Rob Marshall, you know, chose Scott and I to write these songs and for me to score the movie. He knew, just by talking to me and watching my reaction to listening to the original soundtrack, he just knew that it was in my blood, it was in my bone, in my soul. So I didn't really have to do any research or anything. It came very naturally to write in a style that at least sounded like it still lived on Cherry Tree Lane. And we didn't try to imitate the songs, and of course we didn't try to write a new song that had a 32-letter, very hard-to-say word. You know, we knew we couldn't try to compare ourselves like that way, but at least making it sound like it's in the same neighborhood.
Right.
So it's not jarring. Like, you could watch the first movie and then watch our movie and feel a continuity.
Totally.
Absolutely. And there's continuity with Mary as well, even though it's two different actresses. And of course, the highest of standards is set by Julie Andrews. But with Emily Blunt's rendition, and with Mary's first song in the film, is Can You Imagine That? So what musical impression did you want to give audiences for their first reintroduction to the character Mary?
Well, when we first wrote a song for that spot, we wrote a song that was very much in the style of the 1930s English dance band. Because we thought, well, let's let Mary Poppins go. She knows which era she has now landed in. But we kept writing different songs, and finally we thought, let's not shy away from sounding like it's a Mary Poppins movie. And so the song we ended up with, Can You Imagine That, certainly sounds like in the style of the first movie.
Some people like to splash and play. Can you imagine that? And take a seaside holiday. Can you imagine that? Too much glee leaves rings around the brain. Take that joy and send it down the drain. Some people like to laugh at life and giggle through the day. They think the world's a brand new shiny toy.
And like the first movie, we also saw that Mary Poppins is the queen of reverse psychology. In the first movie, she sings the song Stay Awake, a lullaby called Stay Awake, which every lyric is telling the kids, don't lie your head on the pillow, stay awake. And of course, that puts them right to sleep. So with our song, Can You Imagine That? She is scoffing at the use of imagination. Like, why would you want to use your imagination and think of all the wonderful, fun things a child could do? And yet she's also saying, can you imagine that? Can you? Can
right.
you, you know,
that
use your imagination and think of these things? And so by the end of the song, she has gotten them to open up to her about her own imagination.
It's so clever. And working with Lin-Manuel Miranda, you've got Broadway royalty there. So he had a couple moments in this film that were his own musical style. Did he collaborate in those sort of Hamilton-type moments, or did you just find the thrill in writing that for him?
Well, no, we were thrilled to be able to write that. Luckily, the time period of the movie is perfect for the English music hall style of patter songs. It's existed for, you know, for centuries. Gilbert and Sullivan were probably the grandfathers of rap. You know, I am the very model of a modern major general. I mean, that kind of stuff has existed for over 100 years. So we were able to write for Lin something that would give the audience what they wanted to hear. And Lin was very happy to be an actor and a dancer and a performer and leave the writing to someone else. Just written Hamilton, which, you know, you can imagine how much work that was. And he was like, fellas, you build the boat and I'll go sailing on it. And him having that confidence in us was extremely helpful for us.
School, like you'll be a happy king if you enjoy the things you've got. You should never try to be the kind of person that you're not. So they sang and they laughed when the king had found a friend, and they ran onto a rainbow for the story's perfect end. So the moral is, you mustn't let the outside be the guide, for it's not so cut and dried. Well, unless it's Dr. Jekyll, then you better hide. Petrified! No, the truth can't be denied, as I now have testified. All that really counts and matters is the special stuff inside.
If you have time for one more quick question, I'm curious, which song are you most proud of, and does that change day to day?
It changes day to day. I mean, it's hard. You know, they're all your little babies, and you got to love them all. Even though it's not a song that's been put up for, you know, award consideration, the last song in the movie, There's Nowhere to Go But Up, is a very important song to us because it kind of speaks to our current world situation. And hopefully, you know, it's the most glass half full version of looking at how things are nowadays and to say, well, there's nowhere to go but up. It's a very positive way to look at our current life.
Well, and to have Angela Lansbury be the head of that song is amazing.
I still cannot believe it. I swear to you, I still can't believe it, that it's happened. When I hear her singing words I wrote and melodies I wrote, I just can't believe it.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. You're brilliant.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Life's a balloon that tumbles or rises depending on what.
Mark Shaman is the songwriter and composer for Mary Poppins Returns. He joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and film contributor Ryan Jay by phone, and you can find more of our film segments at WUWM.com.
And if you hear a tune, there's nowhere to go but up. Choose the secret we know before life makes us grow. There's nowhere to go but up. If your selection feels right, well then, dearie, hold tight. If you see your reflection, your heart will take flight. If you pick the right string, then your heart will take wing. And there's nowhere.